Hello, this is Ram Cunningham, and this is Ram Asks a Question, all a part of the One Prez Pod. This is where I will ask a question about faith that maybe you would like to ask, and Phil and Tasha answer.
Hey everybody, welcome to another edition of the One Prez Pod. It is Ram Asks a Question season. Hello, Ram.
Hello, sir. How are you today?
I'm great. Shout out to our friend Jared Rigo, who was with us last week. I think Jared will be back, Ram.
I think so. We didn't scare him off. And it's always good to have a guest on here.
And I want to stay on the pothole issue.
Yeah, right. We need to revisit that issue.
Hold him accountable.
I know. It sounds like he had some words.
It did. And the kicking it off to the state, Ram, that's typical politician speak.
No, we love Jared. Thank you for always visiting us. And you know what's cool is the place that we get to do the podcast. I don't know that we mentioned that last week.
We did not, but we should.
We certainly should. And it's not necessarily a plug. Okay, it's a plug.
It's a plug.
It's definitely a plug. But yeah, we get to do this podcast inside the brand new Mill and Exchange here at the Baker District. We're upstairs on the second floor at the Mill. It's our new co-working space. And we are in the room called the Pitch Room. It's called the Pitch Room. So it's where you make pitches and...
It's a beautiful room.
It is.
Lovely windows, brick walls, great table.
Yeah. We invite you down. If you've never been to the Mill, I'll give you a tour for free. It's right here next to the Bakery District. But it's a great place to do a podcast. And today, Ram, Ask a Question returns. Always have questions.
Ram, let's go.
I always say I have words, but you know, sometimes I can form them into questions. So today, I wanted to kind of discuss the famous, and I should have researched to know the exact verse. You're going to know it, but the "do unto others" verse.
Yes.
What is that exact verse?
Well, it's so the golden rule.
Yeah.
Is do unto others as you'd have done to you. So that's in Matthew 7.
I knew it was in Matthew.
Just full disclosure, I'm not a big chapter and verse guy except for certain things.
Well, I felt bad that I didn't know, but now I don't feel bad.
No,
that
you just
shouldn't
feel bad. Like, this is why there's a concordance at the back of your Bible. I've never really committed, like, chapter and verse to
memory. Gotcha. So that whole John 3:16, that's like the only thing I have memorized.
You know, there's a couple, but it's like, by and large, I feel like it's okay. Jesus still loves me if I have to look something up.
Well, I want to first make sure that I have, because I know it can kind of be worded a little differently. I just want to make sure that, you know, do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
Yep.
In its baseline, that's what it is. So I've put a lot of thought into that, and that's something that certainly I try to live by. I think we should all try to live by. And I got to thinking about the other day, and it feels like that when you're in a situation to do unto others as you would have them do unto you, that puts you in a position to say, okay, if I was in this situation, this is how I would want to be treated. And I feel like that some people, not naming any names, Ram, thinks about things differently and maybe has been motivated by certain things a different way as he's been brought up in his faith world and his life and everything. And maybe there's a way that I want to be treated if I were in a situation that maybe isn't favorable to the other party. Am I talking in circles?
No, this makes total sense to me, actually. If I hear what you're saying right, what the golden rule does is it normalizes your perspective. So whoever you are, as the reader or hearer of that passage, do unto others as you'd have done to you. So that means I should treat people like Phil wants to be treated.
Sure.
Or you should treat people like Ram wants to be treated. But all of us have some different norms. You know, we were talking about things at the at our Bakery District class yesterday in a book, and I think this is relevant to us, so just let me ramble for a second. So I was reading a book about worship, and that there's like, the person was arguing that there's no normal kind of worship. There's every type of worship is ethnic. So what we experience as normal here in Fort Smith would be bizarre worship to somebody in Malawi or India or Pakistan or China. Any Christian anywhere in the world has made their worship service reflective of their culture. And they used an example of a kindergarten class being assessed on their ability to follow steps, and the state assessor had come in and tested them on how to make a PB&J, and they'd all failed. None of them could do it, and the state assessor was like, all these kids need special ed. And the teacher had him come back and observed, well, the whole class was Latino. They had burritos and tamales in their lunchboxes. And then, so she said, why don't you ask them how to make a burrito? Every single one of them can make a burrito. So if I say, do unto others as you'd have done to you, why didn't you bring me lunch, Ram?
Mm-hmm.
Or why did you bring me a burrito and not a PB&J? Like, you see it, so like my normal
sure
is a PB&J, your normal may be a burrito,
mm-hmm.
right? So you, so then, what do we do with this? Does this mean that we just throw this away, Ram? Should we just toss it overboard?
Mm-mm.
Probably not.
No.
It's the only thing that's in every major world religion. This sentence appears in every single major world religion. Everybody taught this. It's the only thing. Do unto others as you'd have done to you. Sometimes it's rendered as don't do unto others as you would not have done to yourself. Sometimes it's put in the negative. I don't know that it makes a big difference, but it does, probably.
I don't know if I've heard it that way, but I guess it yep. kind of sort of means the same.
Yeah.
But I almost feel like that, you're right, but your situation is definitely going to dictate what your opinion. There's a lot of you.
Right.
There's a lot of you in this passage, mm-hmm. and I guess it gets back to, I talk about me a lot, but there's a lot of you in that passage, and in that, I feel like it's a little bit selfish, because in me, I'm like, well, me, if I were there, I would want this, and mm-hmm. this person coming in should give me the words
right.
that I am expecting.
Right.
And I kind of get confused, and mm-hmm. then so I just sort of
yeah.
shut down and be quiet.
Right.
Which is not something Ram does very often. So I don't know. Am I making sense?
Oh, yeah. So how do we apply this in a way that would respect the fact that how I would have you do unto me is not necessarily how you would have you done unto you?
Mm-hmm.
Did I say it right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think one of the things that's helpful in Scripture, maybe, think about some principles instead of specific actions. Right? Like, when I'm sick in bed, I want a 7-Up. So when my friend is sick in bed, I take in a 7-Up, and then they don't drink the 7-Up, and my feelings are hurt because I helped them and they didn't care. You know?
Mm-hmm.
That feels like then the golden rule just becomes kind of a yoke or a burden.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't really work. But if you think in principles, maybe, love, patience, kindness, grace, joy,
mm-hmm.
compassion, empathy,
I think a broader picture, yeah, it's better.
It starts to emerge as
yeah.
like, okay, so if I just treat somebody with love, we all kind of agree on some basic, like if you're thinking of agape, like Christian love, like a general love for people, you think about how that looks.
Mm-hmm.
And that gives you some baseline.
Well, it kind of gets back last week's sermon, last week's Sunday school class with Tasha. We were talking about one of the lines of with what would Jesus do,
yeah.
you know, back when it used to be in the 90s. Yeah. You know, I never necessarily got on board with that or loved it, but I really think it's not necessarily a bad thing. But that particular what would Jesus do can really kind of be put in so many different situations. And it ties in nicely with the do unto others. But I feel like that I sometimes don't take that broad bird's eye look, and I take it per situation.
Yes.
And it just gets very cumbersome, and it's very, well, it's discouraging a lot, because
mm-hmm.
I'm like, I'm doing unto
yeah.
others, I'm undoing
yeah.
the, you know, and it's not working. And so I guess that's where I get a little bit kind of frustrated or, you know.
Well, what's working mean? I think that's a good question in this sense. Like what, like if you're thinking about the golden rule in terms of outcomes, what is the outcome you're seeking? If you say, okay, I'm going to practice this rule so that X can happen. What is X?
Mm-hmm.
Solve for X, Ram. Let's do some math.
Well,
here
I hate
on a Thursday
to say
morning.
This, but I would say that X is probably has something to do, unfortunately, and I hate to say this on a podcast, with me.
Yes.
And that's the kind of the problem. It's why we're talking, Phil.
Yeah.
This is why we're talking. But no, really, but the outcome is, well, this will make it better for you, therefore it will make it better for me, therefore it will make it better for us.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that I'm first. But I still feel like there's going to be some me benefit around.
Yep.
There is going to be some me benefit.
So kind of a quid pro quo, right?
A little bit.
I'm going to treat you this way, and then because I've done that, you're going to treat me this
way.
Well,
I don't know that I go into it expecting at
yeah.
all. It's not an expectation uh-huh. thing. It's just maybe that's sort of where my mind is. Okay, this is how we help
uh-huh.
each other as a society is that.
Uh-huh.
But I think there's some miscommunication. I think that there... I think really the whole basis of kind of my question was... Every situation and every person is so different, and it almost feels like that every thing that happens in life is going to dictate how you interpret what that verse means, or what the golden rule really is means. Really,
you know, and I think you're not wrong. I think in it being about you, but I think it's about you outside of external factors. Like, who are we called to be? We're called, as Christians, we're called to be followers of Jesus, which is where the "what would Jesus do" becomes relevant for us.
Sure.
But we don't do what Jesus would do to achieve measurable outcomes necessarily, I think. Like, so if you follow the golden rule, do unto others as you'd have done to yourself, it really is, I think, about you, but it's about you living a certain life and having a structure to every single relationship that you have that's faithful to Jesus. The outcomes are almost irrelevant. Like, if the outcomes were relevant, I always go back to this. I think people probably get tired of me quoting this scripture, but it's like, then what would be the purpose of loving your enemies and praying for those who persecute you? Like, that passage would be fundamentally different. It would be like, love your enemies so that they will be nicer to you. But there's nothing in there about an outcome.
Right.
In that sense, you love your enemies because God loves you. That's it.
But you're going to hope that there's an outcome. You can't not think about the outcome.
Well, maybe you can if you condition yourself over time to be like, this is about me. In this situation, this is about me. And it's about me in the sense of me being the ram or the fill that I want to be, that I feel called to be. In this situation, I am called to be this type of ram or this type of fill. And my faith tells me that. That's it. And I think the golden rule relates more to who are you called to be in a situation. Well, real simply, you're called to be somebody who treats everybody as well as you'd expect to be treated. Like, at a basic level, foundational level, it's going to be difficult to apply and implement that in every situation, right? Because we are sinful creatures, and we get angry, we get sad, we get disappointed, we want a lot of money. Like, we have all sorts of different issues. Back to the original point, we all have different expectations about what it means to be nice or kind or generous or loving. But on a foundational principle, my posture to the world is going to be to treat no one worse than I would want somebody. If somebody's mean to me, I feel bad. So why would I want somebody to feel bad? And why would I want to be mean to them?
Sure.
So, like, on the other hand, when somebody is kind or gracious to me, I feel good. So why wouldn't I want to be kind and gracious? But it's an art, Ram. And I think it's hardest in those relationships that are closest, because you know so much.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, it's really easy to be, I think, nice to the waitress at the restaurant or the teller at the bank. Or the buddy you see once every couple weeks. But those lifelong relationships, you know, where you know every dot and tittle of that person's life and character and stuff, those feel harder to me, because you've got so much of you is wrapped up in that relationship.
Sure. Yeah.
You're at stake. Like, when you relate to a parent or a spouse or a child or a sibling, like, you're in there. Like, there's no separating Phil from those relationships. So it gets complicated. But, you know, I'm reading a book by a guy named Richard Foster, who's a big spiritual disciplines guy. And Foster does a lot of, like, meditating on passages, meditating on ideas. And I think this is something, applying the Foster Ram might do this. Might help you with this. It's an easy passage to remember, right? Like, do unto others as you'd have done unto yourself. Easy to remember. Everybody can remember that. Well, just meditate on that. Like, just chew on it. Put it in your mouth and just gnaw on it. Chew on it. Let your teeth sink into it in a mental sense, in a spiritual sense.
That'll help. It'll help to... Well... First off, it's worry about getting me quiet and meditating for longer than 5 minutes. I think that's something that, you know, I need to get better about too. And that was another question that I had, and we'll do it on another podcast. But, you know, is to having how can God help me get quiet and get to that place to be able to chew on things. Because it seems like in my life, I just kind of taste things too much. Yeah. I just taste it and move on, taste it and move on. I don't really sink in and let it, you know,
You know, I think when we're in control of a situation, it's really easy to practice our faith, personally. Mm-hmm. It's when we're out of control that it's hard to practice our faith. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where the meditation and the focus and that stuff really pays off. Mm-hmm. Like, in this moment, can I slow down my brain, slow down my reactions, and get back to, wait. I need to do unto them as I would have them do unto me right now. When it's hard.
When it's hard. Yep.
And that's the reason that you try to get scripture and prayer and faith into your bones, is so that when you're out of control, and I don't mean out of control like partying drunk,
sure.
hanging from the chandelier. I just mean there's situations in life where we do not have control.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And there's something at stake.
Right.
Something big, something small, but either way, we don't have control and there's something at stake that raises all sorts of feelings in us as people. That's the moment. That's when. Get that verse in your head.
Got it.
Slow down.
At 43, or am I 44? I forget. I'm 43.
Yeah.
I don't have a single tattoo. Maybe that should be the one. Maybe not.
Maybe so.
Yeah. All right. Well, Phil, thank you. I'm enlightened. Now, the big question is, it's the day before St. Patrick's Day.
Yes.
This is going to be my third St. Patrick's Day, not doing a pub crawl.
Okay.
Do you have a St. Patrick's Day tradition that you do? Do you eat cabbage and corned beef?
I have no traditions, except my wife is a dedicated St. Patrick's Day pincher.
Ah.
If you don't have the green on, she is coming for you.
Good to know.
And, you know, as a female, has slightly longer fingernails than the rest of us. So my St. Patrick's Day tradition is to try to avoid being attacked by my spouse and having to call some sort of hotline for help.
That's a great tradition.
Yeah. What about you, Ram?
Well, now, as a non-drinker, I will say back in the day, I look forward to all kinds of crawls and walks and all the things. But Sophie and I are going to go to Mena.
Yes.
Yeah, we're going to go to Mena this weekend and pull up carpet in my parents' living room. Oh. So it's really a tradition that we're starting this year.
Uh-huh. Yes, the St. Patrick's Day tradition of carpet ripping.
Carpet ripping. You got two parents at home now that are officially both retired.
Yes.
So really, that's what you do. Your parents retire, you go home, and they improve the homes. And when you have a son that has a strong back and a weak mind, he comes down there.
I understand. All right. Well, I hope everybody has a good time enjoying their traditions.
Absolutely.
We will talk to you next week.
Yes. Thank you very much.
Peace
See
out.
See you later, guys.
Bye. Hey, you've been listening to Ram Asks a Question, part of the One Prez Pod. Check out our other content on this podcast. Follow us on social media at First Presbyterian on Facebook and Instagram. And check out our website, onepres.org, for more content, sermons, Sunday school classes, and devotionals from First Presbyterian Church. Peace.